thank you for this day and everything that you give us. And please forgive us for all of our sins. And also, please protect us from everything that we shouldn't do, and also the devil. Please help my dog, Camo, because I really do hope he has a good day. And give him everything that he needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hey, good morning, you guys out there. Good morning to you guys that are here in person. How about Carson? Wasn't that awesome? I tell you what, every time he prays, it touches my heart. And you know, because little kids are so precious and special to the Lord. We all are, but especially little kids. Jesus never turned them away. He always drew them to him. Even when the adults would say, be quiet, get out of here, shut up, right? Jesus never did that. I want to encourage you guys. You're never too young. You see Kennedy, you see Carson, you see little Brielle that gets up here. You've seen the kids. And I encourage you out there, if you have a church or, you know, go to church, encourage your pastors to let the kids participate and take part. That's going to help to grow them up in the Lord, okay? That's going to help them to want to do things to serve and honor him, all right? They are such a blessing. And we thank Carson so much for coming here again. For his mom and making that long drive and for blessing us with that precious prayer. Okay, you guys, of course, I want to start with a shout out. I want to give a shout out. Please forgive me for not knowing how to pronounce your name. But you contacted me and your name is Age or Agi. You're in Estonia over in Europe. What you shared was so precious and special. She shared about God confirmed that Christmas was pagan, that it was an unholy thing, and to get out of it. And they were questioning. They were like, really? Right? When you first hear it, you're just like, what? And so they were like, you know, you got to show me. You got to give me some confirmation on this, right? And he did. He led them. They saw a prominent European evangelist or a speaker there spoke out on it. So thank the Lord for those ones that have boldness to go ahead and speak out on it. And then they saw a couple of others in some research and some things that God led them to. And so he really pressed on their heart that it was an unholy thing and to get out of it. And just like all of you guys who've been dealing with that and who've been coming out of it, yes, you'll get persecuted. Yes, your family and friends will come against you because we have all done that in ignorance, not knowing, because my mama didn't teach me. It was just something we did, right? And so that when we know better, we do better. And so that's amazing to see you guys, even though it's a struggle when you first come out. It's amazing to see you hearing God's voice and coming out. And I want to challenge you, those ones of you guys out there who are not getting that kind of revelation from the Lord, you need to dig in deeper. Because he doesn't want to keep you out there in darkness. He's not about that. Okay? So it means you need to draw down deeper into his word. It means you need to get serious in your prayer life. It means you need to start trying to live holy so you can get that revelation from him. If you're not hearing from him, revealing those kind of things to you, something is off in your walk. That's pretty blunt, but there it is. Okay, now, I want to give a shout out to Miss Christine. You are a blessing. She's part of our prayer team, and I just want to tell you, I know you've been trooping along with this ministry for a long time. You've seen God grow in it. God bless you for your encouragement and your words that you shared that I read online last night. Thank God for you. Thank you for what you're doing for his kingdom. And Mr. Pat, I haven't given you a shout out in a long time. I love you over there in Louisiana. Tell Miss Donna we said hello. God bless y'all. All right. We're still on Mark of the Beast, 666. This is part number 9. We've got at least a couple of more parts of this thing to go. Each week, I think I'm getting closer in this thing, I tell you. But today, it's sun worship in the Catholic Church. So get ready, y'all. Sit down and brace yourselves, okay? We're going to start right off with Scripture. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 23. And I'm going to go with verse 5, and then I'm going to skip down to 11. And this is talking about King Josiah, put down the idolatrous priest. When you see that, that means priests that were not serving the Lord. They were idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places. High places were not of God. Remember, he had his tabernacle and then he had his temple. It was a temporary tabernacle at first through Moses, and then it became a temple through Solomon, permanent structure. God was not to be worshipped in high places, okay? That's where Baal, the sun god, and Ashtoreth, the moon god, that's where they were. That's Nimrod and his wife mother, remember? That's where they were being worshipped, in the high places. So, kings of Judah, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places, in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he, King Josiah, took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun, S-U-N, okay, that shines in the sky, at the entering in of the chamber of Nathan-Melech, the chamberlain, which was in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire. So Josiah, King Josiah, came on the scene and he began to clean house, you might say. Okay? He was, when you see that putting down, said, King Josiah, he said, put down the idolatrous priests. He got rid of that stuff. Okay? He killed them. He got them out of the way. He cleaned up the situation for the Lord. Okay? That's having a heart for God, for holiness. And he did all these things and cleaned all this stuff out. I want to point out something for those of you who know what Mandela Effect is and heard that message, those series. I believe there is a Mandela Effect in this scripture when you read the word planets. When I look in my Hebrew Bible, it doesn't say planets. It says constellations, okay? You'd have to listen to Mandela to know what's going on with those things changing in our Bibles, okay? But it's not a deal breaker, all right? Like I said, to me, the deal breakers are going to be when you start reading stuff like they're trying to say Jesus is the Antichrist and things like that, okay? But God did say that famine of his word was coming. It's already been going on in the churches. When a pastor stands up and doesn't even preach from the Bible, doesn't even use scripture, isn't feeding the flock, that's a famine going on, okay? Now we see it happening with the translation of the Bibles that we read. And you know that God's word is not going to change. What's written down can change, but his word's not. And Jesus Christ is the living word, okay? So you can watch that series to learn about Mandela Effect. Anyway, I do not believe that planets was ever there. I believe it was constellations. Okay, and I did not look into the word suburbs to know if it was or wasn't there. Some of that stuff just don't really faze me, okay? So, I want you to see in this scripture that this was all about the ones who were idolatrous priests. They were the ones, remember, they were to the high priest, the Levites, the ones that God called out and ordained to serve and work in his temple. They were to burn incense before him in the Holy of Holies. And only the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year. Now you have these priests out there burning incense to Baal, the sun god who was Nimrod. Burning incense to the moon, to the stars, to the planets, remember? Remember we said when the fallen angels came down that the people thought, ooh, they're gods, right? They were so big and they would seem like gods coming down if you weren't walking with the one true God. And they began to worship them. And it's interesting when you look into their names, they all had names like Jupiter, you know, Neptune, Mercury. They all had the names of the planets. So they were all worshiping those things, and King Josiah said, uh-uh, we ain't having it, okay? So he went to cleaning house. And if you notice, they even dedicated horses to the sun. He got rid of them too. They were defiled before the Lord. They've been dedicated to the sun god, to Nimrod. Okay? And I just thought it was interesting, something to take note. Nathan-Melech, remember Moloch, Melech? That also is Baal. And that's right there in that one's name, the chamberlain. Okay? So, all right, talking about them worshiping the sun, the moon, and the planets, and all of the, you know, host of heaven. This first picture I want you to look at, this is, you know, the Pope. And the people who have not studied and do not have eyes to see will believe that's Mary and baby Jesus. Uh-uh. If you've been following this ministry, you know that ain't so. First of all, that's Semiramis. You might know her as, in our Bibles, Ashtoreth, Queen of Heaven, Diana, Athena, all of those, okay? That's her, bam. And there she is with her little demon baby, Tammuz. You'll find him in the Bible when the women were sitting outside the temple weeping over Tammuz. And that is when God, the Lord God Almighty, was showing Ezekiel the abominations and the things that he hated. And there they were outside his holy temple weeping for this pagan idol. Okay, now look at this. On their heads, oh, they've got halos. Well, we've all been taught that was for angels and stuff. Wrong. These little halos happen to have six-pointed stars going all the way around them. When you see depictions of things with halos around them, that's about sun worship. That's not about holiness. That's not about God's glory shining on them. Uh-uh. When somebody has God's glory shining on them, they will be glowing and radiating an image. It will not be a little halo on their head, whether it's drawn that way or whether it's drawn that way. No. We got to start learning and figuring out this stuff, okay? So here we see the Pope, and you would think, like I know in my mind, I think of the sun, you know, up in the sky, and they were doing all this. But here we are in our modern day, right? And haven't they kind of disguised this a little bit to where, oh, he's burning incense. You see his little, whatever they call that thing, it's an incense burner. You see him right there doing that smoke over here to what the world has been told is Mary and baby Jesus. There he is. Don't you know that she's the moon god? And don't you know that little demon baby was Nimrod reincarnated? So who is he? He's Horus. He's the sun god. And behind that is Lucifer, okay? So here's the Pope worshiping his gods. And they know full well what they're doing, even though everybody else has been deceived that don't have eyes to see and ears to hear. They think, oh, that's Mary and baby Jesus. How holy, really. Now look at this. Look on him. When you start looking at the stuff the Pope wears and you start breaking that stuff down, you're going to get straight up into the occult. That little cross-looking thing that he's got on that flap hanging down his back, that is called a Maltese cross. It's also known as the Iron Cross. That is for the Order of the Knights of Malta. And if you want to break all that down, you get straight to Baal. Who is Nimrod? Who is the sun god? Okay, they wear their little symbols and emblems and their symbols and emblems and stuff proudly right out there for the world to see, because they think the church has been asleep and we don't know what all that is, and we've been buying their definitions of it. When you write your own definitions, you can make it mean anything you want to, right? But Jesus Christ is the truth. There's one truth. You don't get to make up your truth. Oh, this is the cross of Christ. Give me a break with that garbage. We got to learn, y'all. So there he is, worshiping the sun and the moon, worshiping idols right there. And furthermore, if you want to really break it down, you're not supposed to be going around worshiping statues and pictures and all that kind of stuff anyway, okay? Now, here's another picture. Doing the same thing, he's got another picture of them. You see their big little globes around their heads. That's for their little sun worship. And he's burning his incense over there to them again. Same ones, Queen of Heaven and little baby Tammuz. Okay, now look at this next one. There he is again. And this Maltese cross, by the way, we're gonna get deeper into some of these symbols. in the next couple of weeks, because I'm going to be getting down to the point of what God showed me about 666, okay? I've been laying the foundation, laying the groundwork so we can see this idolatry and understand that it wasn't something that just happened in biblical times. It's right here in our world, in our society, loud and proud. And it ain't just in the Catholic Church, okay? But anyway, here he is on this one, burning his incense to what we would think is supposed to be Jesus Christ. That ain't Jesus Christ, I can tell you that right now. But and look at this. You see that little hand so posed up, how what it's doing? Okay, if you study on that right there, you'll find out that's supposed to be the hand of blessing. Okay? I want to tell you something. God never allowed the Israelites to see his image or likeness, because he did not want them to make idols to bow down to and worship. He didn't want them carving images of him. He didn't want them bowing down to pictures of him or any of that kind of stuff. All right, now we might have a good idea about what Jesus looks like, because he actually did come here and walk this earth in the flesh. He took on a fleshly body. But he doesn't want us worshiping pictures and statues of him or his likeness, okay? Then you begin to focus on that thing rather than he's right there, bam, you can connect with him anytime. You don't have to wait till you're at home and you can get in the room where there's a picture of him or a statue of him or whatever. Okay, you're opening doors up for believing in that way anyway. Then all of a sudden, ooh, the statue starts talking. Oh, it's a holy thing. Really? That's a demonic thing straight out of the pits of hell. And when you do that kind of stuff, that's what you're opening yourself up to. You better get your eyes off of pictures and statues. You better get them up on him, okay? Now, this next picture here, I've had people wondering about this too. You got to study into the Jesuits and the Vatican to get a hold of what this next picture is. This is a German coin. And let's just look at a few things on here, okay? Right off the bat, you see that eye. See that eye up there? That is known as the Eye of Horus. Remember little demon baby Tammuz? He's also Horus. Remember how they have all these thousands of names? Okay, so all-seeing eye, that's still Horus, okay? The church sometimes tries to call it the Eye of Providence. Please, it's still the Eye of Horus, and God knows it. You ain't just going to rename it and make it holy. Okay. And behind all of that is Lucifer. And when you see that little eye, you usually see the sun rays coming off of it, because that's what it's about, worshiping the sun. Okay, now, listen to this. Look at that little bird down there. And that bird, and when you look into the occult, you'll find out it can either be a falcon or a phoenix. It's the same thing on our dollar bills. Well, now we've graduated to where they've disguised it as an eagle. Oh, it's an eagle. It's a proud, regal, divine bird. Yeah, guess what it started out to be? Guess what the occult likes? They like the falcon. They like the phoenix. And they like hawks. They like those night birds. They like birds of prey. They like that kind of stuff. And we'll tell you about two of them right now. So whether that's a falcon or whether that's a phoenix, guess what it ties into? In Greek mythology, a phoenix, remember we've been finding out that mythology is mostly factology, a phoenix is a long-lived bird, has a long life, that is cyclically regenerated or reborn, associated with the sun. A phoenix obtains new life by arising from the ashes of its predecessor. And either way, this is the other thing, how that bird represents the sun, no matter which one it is, because guess what little Horus is? Whenever you see him depicted in a total animal form, it's a falcon. Sometimes you see him in the Egyptian hieroglyphs with a falcon head and a human body. So either way, who does that represent? Horus. Who is Horus? He is the sun god, Nimrod reincarnated. Who is that really? Lucifer. Want to know why that pertains to the Catholic Church? Here we go. Look at this next symbol. Same thing. You see that IHS? Okay. And then you go, oh, well, that looks like a cross, you know, for Jesus Christ up there. It's making it all holy. It has a cross. And, oh, well, there's a three nails, right? One for each hand and one for the feet. And, okay, yeah, that's all about Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, no. Listen to this. Just like on that German coin, the Catholic Church is where we see IHS. The Jesuits specifically have this on all of their stuff, okay? They work for the Vatican. Remember, the Jesuits are the one that if you get on the wrong side of the Pope and his cronies, he'll put a hit out on you. And the Jesuits are the ones who carry it out. Remember, there's a black Pope and there's a white Pope. And we ain't talking about skin color either. Okay, the black Pope dresses in black. The white Pope dresses in white. And guess what? The black Pope is a Jesuit. And our Pope that we have right now, he ain't my Pope, but you know what I'm talking about. He is a Jesuit. So he can fulfill both roles, okay? Now, that IHS stands for Isis. That's Semiramis. That's Queen of Heaven. Right there with that H in the middle, Horus. That's the sun god. That's little Tammuz. And that S, and this stuff is all from the occult, right? Set or Seb. When you study their false idols, their demonic gods that they worshipped, okay? To me, I would also say that S is more likely for Satan. Isn't that nifty that fits there as well? Now, Christians have been told, okay, you have to remember this. Remember how they just took all of the pagan holidays and they renamed them all? Oh, winter solstice, we'll call that Christmas. Yeah. Oh, first fruits, when Jesus resurrected and rose from the dead, we'll call that Easter for Ishtar. Yeah, you see, they just renamed everything. Same thing with their idols, because remember, they bowed down to statues and idols that they carved with their own hand. You're going to see some of that in a minute. They just renamed them all. That right, what you saw with the mom and the baby, Semiramis and little Tammuz. Oh, Mary and Jesus fits nicely on that. You see, tap that one nameplate off. Give me the new nameplate. Tap it on there and everybody will buy it. And we've all bought into it. Okay, so they make up their own little definitions and they sprinkle it out there in books and on the internet and feed it to us and think we're supposed to believe it. You're not going to see through that stuff unless you really get plugged into God and you really start walking in the Holy Spirit. Then he's going to open your eyes. He's going to open you up spiritually to see this stuff. Okay. So they really twist scripture and they really twist their little symbols and all the stuff. They try to justify it all. Okay. Now they say that I is for Eosus. Okay. And that is supposed to be the equivalent to Jesus in Greek. They try to say that IHS is a Christogram or Christogram. That is letters that represent the holy name of Jesus. Okay, they're kind of taking that after the Hebrews, because the Hebrews, the real Jews, they loved and honored God the Father so much, and they knew that Jehovah was so holy that they were even scared to even say his name. So they would only, if they wrote his name or anything, they would only use not even all the letters of his name, certain ones. So they're kind of trying to prank on that in this. Okay. So they try to say it's a Christogram, that it represents Jesus' holy name. They say the first two letters are for the Greek version of Jesus. And then later, the S was added for Sigma. Well, what does that have to do with anything? We had to get that S in there, and we had to make up something for it. So, well, we'll just say that fits, really. Okay, so that's all a lie, and I mean, we already know about how they incorporated everything from the pagans right into their idolatry and renamed it and respun it, and we've come so far away from that time, and we haven't studied back to that time, how all that came about. We don't find this stuff in our Bibles. See, they're really trying to spoon feed you a lot of stuff that's not in your Bible. When stuff is not in the Bible, you got to start going, I'm not sure about that. When we're celebrating stuff that's not in the Bible, you need to question, what am I celebrating and why? Where did this come from? What's the roots of it? If we would all did that on Christmas, if we had all did that on Easter, if we would all did that on all this junk on Valentine's Day, we would have known where this stuff came from. It came straight out of pagan idolatry. Okay, it's all against God. So now, and the Masons, I mean, they are Masons, right? When you look into these people in the occult, You trace them back to their secret societies. They're all plugged into this little Illuminati pyramid, all boils down to the Masons, and I mean they're all intertwined together in this what I call ball of wax. Some say that S is for Seb, and listen to this. Seb imprisoned wicked souls so they couldn't ascend to heaven. Well, I'd say it would be appropriate to have his little letter on that little demonic thing, don't you? Yeah, I would say so. And also Geb, remember how they change letters around from different cultures, from different times, and it all means the same thing when you boil it down? Geb was the Egyptian god of the earth, and later a member of the Ened of Heliopolis. He had a snake around his head and was thus also considered the father of snakes. And you know we beat down on the snake last week because that's all about sun worship. Okay, so right there you have little Horus, sun worship. You have the little snake father, sun worship. Wow, right there in that little emblem that they're wearing all around trying to tell you it stands for Jesus Christ. Okay, here's another one. And this is in the Catholic Church. And they, I mean, you'll see it in different forms, okay? You see that cross up there? Y'all got to remember that little Tammuz starts with T. A cross was also his symbol, okay? Because you think, well, how could they put the cross of Christ in there and it not be something holy? Because it ain't the cross of Christ. They know what that little cross means. Okay, look at this next little demonic thing. This one, I'm sorry I didn't pull, I guess, a very good picture of this one. But you see, this one's a little bit different. And to me, this whole thing is creeptastic. See those three nails at the bottom? Yeah, I looked up some research on some of this, and they said in the occult, they know that as three arrows, and they're shooting up towards heaven. Remember, they think they're going to kill God the Father and Holy Spirit during the tribulation. They're at war with God the Father. Whether you guys know it or not, okay, the Catholic Church is totally set against him. Now, here's another one, because right now, you know we've been talking about sun worship, because Mark of the Beast, and you have to know what the worship is all about. It's going to come down to worship, right? You're either going to worship that beast and that beast system and take that mark, or you're going to worship Jesus Christ and stand against it and lose your life. That's in the tribulation. Right now, you have free will to choose. You're going to have free will in the tribulation too, but you're going to lose your head for standing for the Lord then. It'd be much easier to serve him now than it's going to be then. Okay, look at this on the floor. This right here is sun worship on the floor of the Church of the Holy Tomb near Golgotha. Remember, there's some contradiction as to where they believe the real tomb of Jesus Christ is. I've watched a documentary on that. Personally, it just seems like the garden tomb is the one where that just looks more really like where he was. But oh, they make a good case for this holy tomb, okay? Well, here they have their big sun worship pasted right up on the floor there. And look at this. Here's the Pope again with his lovely shining for Jesus self. He's standing there holding the sun and the moon that they worship. Okay, this right, and I believe, you know, I'm not Catholic. I saw something online says they call this thing the monstrance. Well, that's just about appropriate. Cut off the strunts and put stir on there and you got monster. Okay, so this thing here holds the bread for the Eucharist. Okay, you see those rays of the sun shooting out all around this thing? Okay. And this, you know how sick the occult is. They're all about fertility. You read this even in the Bible. You read about the temple prostitutes. You read about all of the stuff that was going on. Paul faced this stuff. The occult is all about that because it goes against God, the way that they're doing things and what they're trying to do. They're not talking about being a man and a woman in love and having a baby and having a family. They're not about that. Okay, they're all about rape and molestation and pedophilia and all these things that go against God. They're all about doing everything the unnatural way. They're all about bestiality. They're all of this kind of stuff. Okay, so I want to tell you something. Those little lines, if you look at those lines coming out as rays of the sun, you're going to see some that are straight. Well, that represents the male. You're going to see some that are squiggly. Well, that represents the female. You see how sick they are? You're going to lose in the end if you haven't read the Bible to know that. My goodness. So, okay, here they are with their little fertility stuff. And there's the Pope, loud and proud, carrying this thing. And here we go with another one. This one you can see better in the center of it where the little bread is held. Okay, there it is with all its sun rays. And you see in the center, you see that sliver of a moon? That's going to hold that bread from the bottom. That's because this is about sun worship and moon worship. It's about Nimrod and his mother slash wife, Ashtoreth in our Bibles, who wanted to be the queen of heaven. Okay? Look at this next one. I got a lot of pictures on this one, you guys. Because I want us to see it, okay? Because I don't attend the Catholic Church. I don't have to know what they're doing, okay? That's why I praise the Lord for the internet. There's so much information that can be found out there to know what's going on, okay? Now, again, you know, that's not Mary and baby Jesus. We already know who that is. And you see the big sun worship all around in their decoration around those two. That's who the Catholic Church is bowing down to. This next one, this big star, sun star, or sun and star, is in front of the main altar in St. Paul's Cathedral with the big circle around it with their color codes. You know, the Illuminati's all about colors and all that kind of stuff, too. They send messages through all of their symbols and codes and colors. Okay, look at this next one. This is more sun worship in the Catholic Church. You see all that stuff carved up on the side of it? And, you know, if you looked into every little thing, but I'm not worried about all the stuff. I just want you to see that sun right there in the middle. Okay? And you still see, you see those lines, those rays coming out from it. Look at this next one. And we talked about these a few weeks back, about the obelisk, which we would call monuments. Okay, obelisk, another word for that is Nimrod's phallus. Okay, his male part. That one came from Egypt. Well, wonder why they moved it from Egypt to Italy to be right in front where the Vatican is. Because the occult is all about trying to open portals and gateways, and they're all about their symbols and their statues. They're all about flooding this world with this stuff so that they can get more satanic and occult power. Okay? They know what the meaning and what the purposes are behind where they position these things. And they have connected points all around this world in these monuments, their obelisks, in pyramids, in roadways. Remember, we showed some things from the sky from people that are taking aerial photos of capital cities and things around the world where they've incorporated their owl for Molech right here in our capital city. Okay, Kazakhstan had the pentagram, and you're not going to see it unless you're up in a plane. Well, we're not going to be hovering like that, are we? But somebody took a picture, praise God, to show us that, okay? So here you are. There's Nimrod standing straight up in the middle. And this star around it is Semiramis. You're usually going to find them two together. You're usually going to find all three of them represented together, okay? So there they are. They also say, you know, those pyramids, it was all about how they had those holes in them and stuff. The sun at different phases. Remember, they worshiped the sun, the newborn sun, the dying sun, the setting sun. Each one of those had a different name for a god, right? Remember, it was Osiris, it was Horus, all of this junk, right? And so they worshiped the sun in its different phases. It's the same thing like sundials, okay? And it's the same thing with these obelisks at certain times of the day, how they shoot their rays out across different places, okay? We're going to get into that, like with the Oval Office and stuff, probably next week or the week after. Okay, so there they are, represented right out there, right at the Vatican. And look at this next picture. This picture also is in the Vatican. And you can plainly see, you see all around, you see the sun, you see the moon, and you see the stars. That in the middle looks like the mama and the baby, which they've been telling everybody is Mary and baby Jesus. Uh-uh, not so. That's Semiramis, and that's little demon baby Tammuz. So right here, you have the idolatry, worshiping the sun, worshiping the moon, and the stars are the constellations, the host of heaven, and not God's host of heaven, okay? You don't worship the host of heaven when you worship the Lord Jesus anyway, because we don't worship angels, okay? So, and they're part of God's host of heaven, but we don't worship them. So you can see their idolatry, their sun, moon, and star worship in all of their artwork, in all of their statues, in all of it, okay? But we haven't known that because we've been believing their definitions that they printed out and told us to believe, okay? This next one is so sad too. Look at this guy right here, okay? They say that is Peter, right? Remember how I said they just took their little hammer and chipped off the nameplate and got a new nameplate and stuck it on there? Well, that's Zeus. He's known as King of the Gods. And the Catholic Church changed the name to Peter. Now, look how it's still about sun worship, because I want to show you something. You see how they put that disc on his head? That's a sun wheel. And then look at him. He's doing that. Look at the toes on his right foot. They're all kind of not really defined anymore because they're worn away, because people have been touching those toes and kissing those toes in worship. Okay? They have touched and kissed on those toes so much that they're almost wiped off. And I want to tell you something. We talked about that when you see that little two-hand whatever, you saw it a while ago with Jesus trying to do the whatever, how they had him depicted. That is the hand of blessing. They have their little, you almost can't even put your hand up without it being some Masonic thing. My goodness, I probably do that and it'll be something, I'm telling you. So this is what I want to tell you. Remember that the fallen angels and the demons who we have been told and shown in our movies and different things are aliens, but we now have knowledge to know that, they're demons, along with Satan, that they're running things on this earth right now. Remember, we lost the title deed to this earth when Adam went into sin. Okay, everything was blessed and handed to Adam. And when he dorked it up for all of us, right? Not that we would have done any better. You know, everybody likes to beat on him, but please, if we were in his shoes, we'd probably dorked it up too. But when he did that, he turned it over to Satan, okay? And remember the testimony of so many that have said they've seen aliens, which we know are demons, running meetings in the UN, at the World Bank. Don't forget Snowden's testimony. There's so many people who are either have lost their lives, they've run for cover, so to speak, like Snowden left the country, like Phil Snyder gave his life. Different ones that have spoken out about the truth have lost their life about this. Because people believe that is too far-fetched, that you'd walk into any meeting and there's demons running the thing. My goodness. That's because a lot of people are asleep and are not realizing the time that we're in. Okay? Jesus said it was going to be as in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, they had Nephilim walking the earth, eating the people and rising up against the people. And if we think we're not going to see that same kind of stuff now, and it's already here, they just got a little bit better about trying to be underground, about trying to cover it up so that most of us don't know, okay? They're getting ready to rise up and come out full force, and then everybody is going to wake up and have a bad day. They're going to be like, what? The people that have been asleep aren't going to know what hit them. Okay? So you got to remember that they're running the meetings and they're running the show, the fallen angels and the demons, okay, who take their orders from Satan because they're part of his kingdom. And yes, he has a kingdom. Okay, remember, why else would Jesus say a kingdom divided against itself? All right? There's God's kingdom and there's Satan's kingdom. I've had some people try to say, Satan ain't got no kingdom. You better study your word. Okay? Now, after the fallen angels and the demonic level, you got the Vatican and the Jesuits. They're the same right there on the second level, running this world. You think they're just holed up over there in Italy and Rome doing their own little thing? You better think again. They tell world leaders what to do. They run things, whether you realize it or not. If you get into really researching and studying this, you'll run into it. Okay, you'll find out, too, the Khazarian and Ashkenazi Jews who don't have a heart for even the God the Father, much less Jesus Christ. They are running this world, I'll tell you what. Okay, so you got to remember what we're hitting on right now. The sun worship, the moon worship, this idolatry in the Catholic Church, who comes right out there, right with the Vatican, with the Pope, with all of that. At the top of it, they're serving right underneath Satan. They're taking orders from him. Okay? So, I have to shine a light on this. Okay? They are an occult. I mean, I can't even be nice about it. You know, sometimes I say a false religion, a false church, you know, whatever. They are an occult. If you don't hear it anywhere else, you heard it from here. Okay? They're openly running and ruling the world with Satan. And their day is coming soon. When Jesus comes back and sets up his rule and reign and puts his foot down, so to speak, they've had it. And if they haven't come out of it, they've had a bad day. But see, right now, they think, nah, nothing's happening. We're getting away with it, right? They think they're getting away with it. Okay? I want to tell you that we have to speak out against this idolatry and teach and bring awareness about it, because there are some people who are in that religion and they're blinded. They don't even know what's going on at the top of that church, okay? I mean, because you can't just go around and beat up on every person that you meet that's in the Catholic faith, okay? I met a man. These bruises here are from an infusion that I just got, okay? And while I was getting that, a man was asking me, he said, so you're a pastor? And I was like, yeah. And he said, I got some questions for you. So I was like, okay. And he asked me about the unpardonable sin. And then he asked me about purgatory. I want to tell you something. I asked him, I said, you go to church? And he was like, yes. This is before he asked purgatory. If he had asked purgatory, I'd have known right off he was a Catholic, okay? Before he asked about that question, I said, do you go to church? And he said, yes. And I said, what kind of church you go to? And he said, oh, I go to Saint something or other. Bam. I knew he was Catholic. And but I want to tell you something. There's a reason why he was asking those questions. That's because Holy Spirit was moving on him. And he was saying, there's more out there. You got to find out the truth. And you hear somebody that has a testimony that's come out of the Catholic Church, they will share with you. God knows how to pull and draw them out and show them the truth and separate them from that, okay? Not everybody's willing to hear. Not everybody wants to see. And most of the time, you got to fight on your hands. And when they don't want to receive your testimony, your words, that's when you have to just turn and walk away and let it go, because we're not supposed to fight about it, okay? Jesus said, dust off the dust from your feet and move on. Okay, so there are those that are blinded and they're in that religion. They're not up there in the Vatican in Rome hanging out, rubbing elbows with the Pope. They're like in your local neighborhood, going to the Catholic church or attending Mass sometimes or whatever. And they don't know what's going on at the top, right? They may not even know all the things that they're doing in their services, just because a lot of times, just like we've been doing with Christmas, just like we were doing with Easter, you just do it because that's the way you always did it or the way you always celebrate. You didn't ask questions, right? And a lot of times it's the same thing. We just say these prayers. We just have these rosary beads. We just do this because it's what we do. And they haven't even studied and dug down to it to find out why, okay? So listen to this. I hope that you guys are seeing that the Catholic Church is deeply entrenched in sun worship, and it boils down to worshiping Nimrod and Tammuz, Osiris and Horus, that all-seeing eye, and behind it all is Lucifer. Ashtoreth, the Queen of Heaven, Semiramis, she's not left out. She is right up in the mix just as much as anything, okay? They've got all of that mingled in all of their artwork and their symbols, okay? And I want to tell you something. If you're Catholic right now and you're watching this message, I have a lot of Catholic people that used to be Catholic and they're not anymore. And they, oh man, they share and verify so many things to me, and they'll say, that's true. I didn't know this. I didn't, when they were in it, okay? And they are so happy that they got out of it. You're going to feel a pressure. You're going to feel a burden. You're going to feel something lifted off of you. But if you're Catholic and you're watching this, I want to tell you something. We don't hate you guys. We're not about hate. God loves you. And he doesn't want you in that idolatry. And if you don't believe it's idolatry, if you'll just seek him and you'll do some research and pray about it and let him. Don't pray through Mary. Mary didn't do anything to be having to go through her to get to him. Jesus did. Okay, you pray to the Father and you pray in Jesus' name. Mary was honored to be chosen as a vessel to bring forth Jesus into flesh. But she is not somebody that we bow down and worship. We don't bow down and worship angels. We don't bow down and worship Mary. Okay, she was blessed by God to be chosen. But that was it. We're all blessed by God. Did you know that? Because you're chosen. You have a call on your life. Every single one of us, Jesus created to do something for his glory and his honor and his kingdom. And usually it's what you're good at. It's what you have a passion and a desire. It's something you like to do. God put that in you already. It's something you like to do and you're good at it. And you just got to figure out and walk with him and ask him how to flip it and use it for him. Okay? Javon. He's out there right now. He's the guy who was in the gang who got shot so many times. And he was, best I can tell, like a rapper, okay? And right now he is really struggling because he is wanting to serve the Lord and give glory and honor to him. But yet he was making a living and making a life doing his rapping thing, right? Well, you know what? There's a reason why he's got that talent, that ability that's given to him. But God gave it. So whatever God gave you, use it for his glory and his honor. And he's going to make a way, you know, to pay our bills and give us all the things that we need. God said, seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. And he's going to meet your needs, okay? Okay. I might have got off on a trail there, okay? I do want you guys who are Catholic out there to know. We don't hate you, but we want you to know the truth, okay? It doesn't please God. Something that woke me up to this is when Pastor Philip in Liberia was in a coma, and he went before the throne of Jesus Christ, and Jesus told him that he wanted him, Pastor Philip, to bring out all of the things that are going on in this world, and he said, and in his churches. And he said, the occult that is in my churches. And he specifically mentioned the Catholic Church. Now, this was not a good praise thing from Jesus. And he mentioned the Catholic Church. If you don't think I was going to jump on that thing and open it up and expose it, y'all don't know me that well, okay? I take the things that he says very seriously. Even though he said it to Pastor Philip, he knew I was associated with Pastor Philip. And he knew I was going to take that to heart and start doing it. Because Pastor Philip even told me, he said, I didn't know who the Illuminati was. He never heard that word when Jesus spoke that to him. He knows our current lingo, okay? Jesus isn't up there saying, thou shalt, you know, please. He knows how we talk, and he talks to you just like you talk, okay? And so he told Pastor Philip that, and so that's what I took to heart, and that's when I started bringing these kind of messages and exposing this kind of stuff, because the Lord is sick of it. He wants the world and his church to wake up, okay? Now, I do want to tell you that it is sad. It does sadden me that other pastors are not speaking out about this. They will not speak a word against the Catholic Church. Most of the time they make a face, then they act like they don't want to go there, and they'll move on. And I'm going to tell you something. They don't want the persecution. And I'm a watchman on the wall, and God had something to say about watchmen that don't have a voice. He said they're like a dog that has no bark. That's not a watchdog having no bark. You got to speak out, guys. Okay? So I'm not a watchman that can be silent. I'm going to put it out there. Okay. This next scripture I want us to look at is in Jeremiah 8, 1 and 2. Jeremiah 8, 1 and 2. And it says, at that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priest, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved, and whom they have served, and whom they and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. He's made that very clear. It was the sun, the moon, and the host of heaven that they loved. That's who they gave their hearts to. That's who they served. That's who they, and when you say walk after, we're supposed to be walking in the will of the Lord, walking in his will and his ways, right? So they weren't walking after him. They were walking after the sun, the moon, and the stars. And it says, and they sought whom they have sought and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered. He's going to bring out these dead men's bones who were worshiping the sun, the moon, the stars, and the host of heaven. And these bones, these dead men's bones, he says, shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And that, remember, this scripture started out with at that time. This ain't going to be nothing pretty. And this is what God's saying he's going to do to those who worshiped all of that. So their bones are going to be spread out before the sun, moon, and stars. And they're not going to be buried. They're not going to have that honor. Dung, poo, okay, on the face of the earth. Now, I want to tell you, this reminded me of the Catholic Church because what they do and believe about the dead. Now, right here, I want to take a moment to caution you guys out there and you guys in here. Kennedy, you might want to go out with Carson. I want to tell y'all that I'm about to show you some of the dead bodies. It's going to be like a funeral, okay? Now, some little kids haven't been to, Kennedy's been to five, okay? She's lost three grandparents, and Pastor Jerry's wife passed on, and an aunt. So she's been to a lot of funerals, okay? But not all little kids have. So we're fixing to see some dead bodies. We're fixing to see some bones and some skeletons that the Catholic Church worships. And that's what I want to tell you. If you've got small children, you might want to pause the message and let them leave the room. You make the call if you feel like your child's okay with it or not, okay? I just want to give you that caution. Look at this first picture. This is Pope John the 23rd. This is what they do. They put these dead bodies on display. Okay? They dress them up. They prop them up. They put them in their little glass cases. They do all of their little preservation on their bodies. They do some things on these bodies. I ran into some stuff. It was I'm using this word, creeptastic, okay? It was creepy. So here's one. You think, let's look at another one. Here this one is. This is Pope Celestine V. And look at, see how that face kind of starts looking like waxy and stuff? Yeah, they do some work on these dudes. One of them, depending on how far they let them go, they go in and do some modifications. We do, you know, they do things to, somebody you'll see in a minute has a partial mask that they put on this face. They do different things because they are going to have them out on display, okay? So here you see this one. Look at this next one. This next one is, this is a Coptic mourner. See this guy over here making prayers to this dead dude right here? Sitting up here looking like a king? Okay, this Coptic mourner prays next to the body of Pope Shenouda III, the head of Egypt's Coptic Orthodox Church, displayed for public viewing inside St. Mark's Cathedral in Cairo. He ain't even in a glass case. You could reach over there and touch that dude. Okay? Look at that. Now, and that's not all. It's not just the men. The women, too. Look at this next one. And they've got her propped up like on her side on her little pillow and everything. Okay? This is a saint in the Cornero Chapel in Spain. And there are a lot of, there's so many out there. I tried to pick not the gory, real creepy ones, y'all, okay? But you can find that stuff out there, all right? Now, I want you to see, I got a little short clip that I want you to watch. And this is going to be about Pope Padre Pio, or Pio. And we're going to talk about him after this clip. Watch this, y'all. Okay, you guys, I hope you can see they are worshiping these dead corpses. And that one in particular, Pope, what's his face? Pope Francis had whatever they do. That I don't really even say they dig them up because they keep them above. Okay? But he moved his location and sent him around on tour to be worshipped. And then they put him, he's out on display in a different location so he can be worshipped. Okay? I got the link for that. You can check up on that, okay? But I want to go back to something. They talked about that this pope supposedly had the what's called stigmata. There's been scary movies and stuff with all of that, right? Okay? That's the bleeding of the hands and the feet. That's supposed to be representative of what happened to Jesus Christ, right? The Catholic Church portrays that as so holy. Oh my goodness, if you see that bleeding, wrong. You want to know what that is? That's demonic. That's straight out of the pits of hell. That's Satan doing his signs and wonders. And that's to still capture the people because that stuff is intriguing, right? When you're chasing after the wrong power source. That's what that is. That's all demonic signs and wonders, and that's Satan's power that causes that bleeding and things like that to come. When you see a statue in a Catholic church begin to have tears, that's demonic. God's not going to have some statue crying. You got to think, what's the purpose of this thing? Just like we talked about those jewels and things being rained down from the sky, and there's different false prophets saying, that's God, that really... Why is God going to rain down some things like that and people hoard them up and take them to their house and go try to have it appraised? Somebody commented on the video and said, or a message, and they told me, yeah. I started thinking, why would God do that if the people weren't going to use it to feed the poor and needy? You see? It's not God, okay? Now, so they pray to and worship the dead. You saw them people sticking their hands on there, all up there weeping and crying over this guy. And they said this guy had powers, you know, knowing the future and stuff. You want to know what that is? Familiar spirits. The same things that fortune tellers work with. The same things that magicians work with. The same things that the ones that do their little, they come and do their magic shows. Or maybe they come in here and they start telling you stuff about yourself. And you're like, oh, it's the power of God. Only God could reveal these things. You better think again. You better know what source that person that's telling you that stuff is tapped into. You think it could be prophetic, a word of knowledge from God. And maybe that person is serving Satan and they're getting that information from familiar spirits. And just because they could tell you something about yourself or where something is hidden in your home or something, you know, personal about yourself that nobody else could know, they know when that's all it takes to fool you and trick you and get you under their power and under their deception. That's because, people, we've got to pray for more godly discernment. When you are not walking with the Holy Spirit, you can be taken in by that stuff so easy and so fast. Yes, they have words of knowledge. Yes, that, like I heard Jensen Franklin a few weeks ago say that stuff works. Because it's demonic, they're never going to have the power of the Almighty God the Father. And the things that they do, miracles, signs, and wonders that they do, is never going to even hold a candle to Him. Okay? That's from seeking the wrong power source. Now, of course, I stumbled on something else I thought was very interesting, y'all. This is supposed to be Peter. Peter from the Bible, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, okay, an apostle. They discovered, the Catholic Church discovered these bones, supposedly in 1939, when they were doing some excavations in the grotto underneath Peter's basilica. Now, I will just pause here for a second and let you know. You know how you've heard of their all of the stuff they have underneath that Vatican, underneath, you know, Peter's basilica, all of that stuff they got going on down there, where they have dead bodies down there. And if you've ever listened to somebody that's been abused in satanic rituals, and there are a couple out there, some good testimonies I've listened to. They bring those dead bodies out to stand them at their little entrances down there to participate in the satanic rituals. It's sick, y'all. So they were down there doing some excavations, and they found this. They supposedly found a monument that said, Peter is here. And later, they claimed to know for sure, and whoever it was put that stuff in a shoebox. I got the link for this, y'all. So then later on, they claimed to know for sure that this was Peter's bones. And they exhumed the bones, and now they are displaying them out in the open for everybody to come see and worship in St. Peter's Basilica. So, I just want to tell you, as a side note, I want you to know, if you believe in and love Jesus Christ, you are a saint. Okay, it's just like we're Christians, we're saints. It's, we're both of those things. Okay, we're God's anointed, we're holy, consecrated, set apart, being sanctified for His purpose and His glory. Okay, it's not something bestowed on anyone by a pope. He doesn't sit there in the place of God and decide who is a saint and who is not. Okay, I've heard that he even does that after someone passes away, then honors them with sainthood. They get inducted into the Hall of Saints and they get to be a saint. No, no. If you love Jesus Christ and you serve him, you're a saint. Okay, you got to think about that song that says, oh, when the saints go marching in, that ain't the Catholic Church. That's everybody who loves Jesus Christ. Okay, so. And, you know, they're calling Peter, you know, I don't call him St. Peter. We're not wrapped up in all of that. I mean, that's just not how I talk. They may have talked like that more in the early church, but it would have not only been Peter, it would have been everybody there who loved Jesus Christ, who was serving the Lord, okay? So, look at this next thing. It can still get creepier, and it does. This one is in Rome. There's a Catholic church with skeletons dressed up as monks. That's what the ones you see right there in black. There are 4,000 skulls can be found as decoration at this horrific site. Decoration. They're all about dead men's bones, skeletons, and all of this. Okay? Look at this next one. This is a crypt in the heart of Rome, and it's decorated with, that's supposed to be a painting of Jesus Christ. You've got skull and bones. You've got two corpses on either side. And I want to tell you something. The website that I pulled this from, they were saying this is a tragedy that is keeping non-believers away from this wicked pagan religion. You know, a lot of people that don't really know about the Lord and everything, they believe, well, the Catholic Church is the one that all other, that they sprang from and all that, right? Which that's not true. But they look at this kind of stuff and they go, I don't want no part of that. If that's what it means serving God, I mean, even they have enough sense to know. Okay, you don't do stuff like that. And I mean, they've taken bones. Where they're getting these bodies at, you got to start wondering about that. And they've just made decoration out of it. Look at this next one. Here we are with the little IHS. And that has nothing to do with Jesus. That is at the Bone Church in Cutnohora, Prague. And this is the kind of stuff they do with the bones and the skeletons. In this last picture, you see here, and I want to tell you, that they try to say that dead men's bones are holy and a thing to be worshipped and praised. And you see that cardinal or whatever they call them there standing there. And you can see how they have this set up like a little museum type thing where people are coming through here and looking at all this stuff. Look at this last one. They've made a big, huge chandelier here out of people's bones. And I want to tell you something, this is sick. I know when I used to watch all the horror movies and scary movies and stuff, that's the kind of stuff you would see in those kind of movies. And this is a church. This is a religion. And if you watch scary movies and stuff and you're seeing that in the scary movies and you're seeing it in this religion, you're going to go, what? Okay? So in closing, I want to go to Numbers 19:11. I want to tell you what God thinks about all of that with the dead men's bones and skeletons and dead bodies and all of this. Numbers 19:11. He that touches the dead body of any man shall be unclean 7 days. Now remember, that was the Old Testament. That was when they were under the law. And God had guidelines and things that they had to do to be considered clean to come before Him and participate in sacrifices and offerings and worship. And if they had touched a dead body, you know, if their mom or dad, you know, somebody had passed away and they touched it, a dead animal's body, whatever, unclean. You're not allowed to participate in this, right? Listen to this. Let's go and look at Haggai 2, 11 through 14. Haggai 2, 11 through 14. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body, so someone touched a dead body and they were considered unclean, touch any of these things that they just mentioned, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. So he was saying, if an unclean person, whatever they touch, is considered unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. He was considering his people unclean for all their idolatry that they had been committing and doing. And everything they were touching was unclean. And their sacrifices and offerings and everything to him, he viewed it all as unclean. They were defiled before the Lord. Okay? Now, in Matthew 8, 21 through 22, this stands out to me about how Jesus felt about it. Matthew 8, 21 through 22. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. You could think, wow, that sounds kind of cold-hearted. But you know, you had God himself walking by, and you want to be over here concerned about the dead thing, right? Once you're dead, it's over, it's done, it's right? And Jesus was saying, the thing you should be concerned with is following me. I have heard some teaching that they, after a year, pull out those dead bones and bleach them, and that's what he was wanting to go and see about, and that's why Jesus, you know, kind of said it like that, and it sounds kind of cold. But either way, you know, when God's in the room, you go with God, okay? Whoever that is that died, if they didn't serve him, they're going to be sad and wishing that they did, burning in hell. If they did serve him, you think they want you there doing whatever, they'd be like, go with God. You know, what's wrong with you? And if it's your mama, they'd be like shaking you like, what's wrong with you? Go with God, okay? That's what we're supposed to want for everybody that we know. We don't want them to be tied up over here in this dead thing. We want them to go with God, follow him, okay? And because of God's grace to us in Jesus Christ, we are not considered defiled or unclean when we touch a dead body. I know I touched my mama, and I didn't know. I never really touched, somebody that was dead. And she was cold as ice, and I don't know why I thought, you know, she wouldn't feel that way. But you know what? Praise God that just because I touched my mama, he didn't consider me unclean. Because we're not under the law, you guys. We're under grace with Jesus Christ. So, when somebody dies that's a Christian, or even that was considered a saint by the Pope or whoever, their bones that they are calling holy bones are not to be worshipped. Okay? We don't worship them. We don't pray to them. And the Catholic Church and any other church that is doing this is in sin, and they're in abomination to the Lord. And the Catholic Church is an occult. And I want to tell you guys, you got to come out of it. You got to get out of her, okay? She considers herself the mother church, okay? That's why you got this queen of heaven. That's who she thinks she is, okay? You got to come out of it, guys. In the Old Testament, dead things were a representation of sin. And today, God doesn't want us touching sin. We'll be separated from him until we repent from it, okay? They had a ritual cleansing in the Old Testament. They were considered unclean for so long. They had certain procedure that they had to do to then be considered clean again, to come back and to participate in the worship and in the sacrifices and offerings and things, and to come back into fellowship with everybody. They had certain things that they had to do. We have certain things we have to do today. Okay, that certain thing that you got to do to be cleansed and purified after touching a dead thing, which is sin, being in sin. And how you get cleaned up from that, how you get your ritual cleansing, if you will, is by confessing and repenting, being washed clean by Jesus' blood. That's what you got to do. And it's not a one-time deal. People say, well, he only died on the cross once, so I confess once and I'm good to go. Guess what? When you mess up again and you realize it and the Holy Spirit weighs on your heart, you say, Lord, I'm so sorry, because you grieve the Holy Spirit. And you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And if you read, it talks about Jesus' blood continually cleansing us. It's continually. It's always, not a one-time thing like in the past or it was done. It's all the time when you walk with him, okay? So I want to tell you something. If you see these kind of symbols and you see these emblems and these statues and these kind of things in your church and in the worship that you're doing, in your religion, it's time to get out of that religion. It's time to get out of that church, okay? It's time to come truly to Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of your life, okay? It's time to find out what all that stuff really means, okay, and get out of it. I want to tell you something because, and we're fixing to pray, I've had people that want to know more about how to warfare. And I want to tell you first and foremost that warfare is prayer. When you pray, God moves. When you pray, he commands his angels, and he says, go do this, go do that, go, okay? And you got to be in relation with him for him to hear your prayers. If you haven't ever accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your prayers ain't going nowhere. I hate to tell you. I used to be on, well, I am still on Facebook, but when people would say, oh, I'll pray for this, that, and other, and I just read about them partying down and cussing somebody out and drinking beer and doing whatever, and I know they don't have a relationship with God, and they're saying they're going to pray for me, you don't want them prayers. Them prayers ain't going nowhere, okay? I don't know why people aren't teaching and preaching about this. The only prayers that God hears is somebody who's accepted his son, and his blood is applied to their life, and they're plugged into him. If you haven't ever done that, God ain't hearing your prayer. He will always hear the sinner's prayer from the heart. But other than that, if you don't love Jesus and you ain't about Jesus, let's say, you know, and you think you're going to pray to God, you know, Lord, bless my business, help me get this car. He ain't hearing that prayer. That's a selfish prayer anyway, but he ain't hearing that prayer. Okay? He doesn't just sit there and he ain't going to bless your sin. So if you think you're going to pray up some stuff about blessing your sin, God ain't going to do that. Why would he bless you and you're living in sin and haven't accepted his son? He doesn't bless sin. He's a holy God. So if you're not if you haven't come to Jesus Christ and you're living a blessed life and a rich life and everything's going great, you better check it. You better find out where that blessing is coming from. Because Satan can pour out blessings too, just to keep you trapped, deceived, and away from God. People want to know how to warfare against this kind of stuff, against the idol worship, the idolatry, the sun worship, okay? Because when you look at it and you think, well, what's the big deal? Let them worship the sun. They're ruling this world, okay? They're persecuting Christians. They're persecuting people. They're killing people. They're sacrificing people for more demonic power, okay? They're trying to, it's just like Islam. They're trying so hard to do wars and get things happening so their Mahdi, who we know as the Antichrist, can come back. Okay? That's what all is going on in this world when all of this idolatry is going on, because they're worshiping the same gods in Islam. Okay? So here, not as the Christians, as the Catholic Church. Let's get that straight. But anyway, so here's the thing, and people are like, well, how do we come against this evil? What can we do? One thing, get out of it, right? One thing, witness to those around you, okay? But something else you can do is pray against it, and there's different kinds of prayers. Some prayers are like, you, let's say we have friends and loved ones who aren't saved, and we lift them up to God and we pray for their salvation. Another one is where you can get more into warrior mode about it, and you can bind Satan off of them. You can plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You can go at it from that angle, and do both. Cover all your angles, okay? You want to intercede. You want to warfare. You want to do it both ways, okay? So when I think about that kind of stuff, I think about, how are we going to get it to stop, Lord? Of course, I like to pray the Lord's Prayer. That's when you're asking for His kingdom to come. Peace in heaven, and you want that on the earth, okay? That's going to stop it all right then, right? That's ushering in Jesus Christ to come back, okay? And then everybody goes, but we got loved ones, and we got friends, and we got... Well, you better get busy then, okay? Because He ain't going to hold back forever, okay? But there, so something else that you can do, you think about it, they're not saved, right? Or they wouldn't be worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars. It's got to all start with salvation. When that person gets saved, they're going to come out of that stuff, right? Same thing with you targeted individuals. Remember how God said to pray for our enemies, bless them that curse you, okay? So if somebody is hitting you with microwave weapons, okay, they're burning you daily, or they're virtually raping you and those kind of things, and that's where there ain't even a physical body there. Yes, they can do this stuff. You got to pray for them to get saved, because guess what? When they get saved, they're not going to be burning you with that weapon no more. They're not going to be doing that stuff to you anymore, right? So we got to think about it. If you get down to the root of the thing, of the evil, is that they need salvation. So if we would all get cranked up around this world, start praying for the Catholic Church to get saved, start praying for the people who are persecuting other people to get saved, that's where it's got to start, okay? Start warfaring like that. I'll just tell you one simple little thing that I did. Down the street from here, there was like a palm reader, fortune teller kind of place. And I'd go by there and I'd pray prayers against it all the time. And I'd pray, Lord, shut that place down. Lord, you know, change these people's heart. Heavenly Father, you know, get this out of here. Guess what? It ain't there no more. That ain't me. That's him. Pray that kind of stuff, y'all. You see stuff like that? You see these kind of different shops and stuff? Pray against it. Pray for them people. You think, if they're selling this ungodly stuff, what can I do? Start praying for that person to get saved. Start praying for them to desire a godly business. Start praying for that and watch what happens, okay? So let's pray, you guys. And I'll do an example of that in this prayer, because I want us all to learn. We can learn from other people's prayers too, okay? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you first and foremost for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you sent Jesus here and that he came willingly and he did your will. And it was a hard thing. I love it, Lord Jesus, that you prayed so fervently in that Garden of Gethsemane to the point of shedding blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing such a hard thing for every single one of us. Thank you for going ahead and doing the Father's will. And Father, you are a holy God. You're so holy. We cannot even imagine your holiness. And people are just downplaying it and just, oh my goodness, when we behold your presence, will we even be able to stand? When the people in the Bible saw just angels, they always fell down to worship them, or they fell down because they were in the presence of glory and power and holiness at just angels. They weren't like people say today, oh, I saw an angel. Oh, I saw. Really? The people in the Bible were moved when they saw angels. Most of the time they were scared. It was that powerful. Can you imagine being in the presence of a holy God? All our little excuses we make are going to burn away before Him. You're not even going to make those excuses. You're going to know better than to try to lie before Him. Father, I ask you, help us. Let our words be life and not death. Your word says that we will eat of the fruit of our lips. Help us to speak life. Help us to stand boldly for your truth, Father, no matter man's traditions or man getting angry at us. No matter if telling the truth is going to have a Catholic person mad at you. Get those seeds out there. That way, when they're alone, they can think over those things. They can pray. And Father, we ask you to let the seeds be, let them be, fall on good soil, Father. Let them be planted and rooted and grounded, Father. And we ask you to water them and nurture them and help them to grow to full maturity, Father. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to pour more godly discernment out on your children, to recognize the things that are going on in the world, the things that are not holy. If just because it looks like a miracle or something that's amazing doesn't always mean it's from the hand of God. Satan has an anointing on him. He was anointed in heaven. And he can do those power, those signs and wonders and things. You have to know the power source. And Heavenly Father, we ask you, we're seeking you to destroy the works of the enemy. Smash and destroy this idolatry in your churches and in this world, Heavenly Father. And I will say, Heavenly Father, you guys out there, this is how I pray. When I pray something like this, those of you who are really in the faith and you know who you are in Jesus Christ, I ask you to join your faith with me. And don't be scared to say something to Satan. You're saying it in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus created him. So I'm talking to you right now, Satan, and your whole kingdom. I'm talking to your principalities, your fallen angels, your powers, your wickedness in high places, all the way down to your demons. I'm talking to all of your kingdom in the name of Jesus Christ. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's given me all power and authority over you. And right now, we come against you, Satan, and we bind you out of the Catholic Church, out of everyone who you've deceived into these lies that we've been speaking about today. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. He holds all power. He's given us all power and authority over you. We trample on serpents and scorpions in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I plead the blood of Jesus over the Catholic Church and those who are in this deception, no matter the denomination. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over them. And Heavenly Father, I turn to you. You're the only one that can answer our prayers and do the things that we ask in prayer. So Father, I'm asking you. We know they're not all going to come out of it. But for the ones that will, Father, that have a tender heart that you can reach by your Holy Spirit power, Father, we ask you to convict them and draw them, Father, out. We ask you to give them eyes to see and give them ears to hear. Heavenly Father, that they would bow their knee at the cross of Jesus Christ and that they would cry out for their Savior, that they would lift him up as their sacrifice, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Father, we ask you, Holy Spirit, you are the power that raised Jesus from the dead. You can draw. Even Miss Jessica here was sharing with us earlier. She was drawn out of that deception. It was God that drew her. He loved her. He wanted her out. And he's speaking to you right now today. And he's saying, come out of it. Come to me. He loves you. He created you. Come out of the deception. Come to Jesus. Father, we ask you to send your holy warring angels in to all these situations to cut and sever the ties with the kingdom of darkness out of their lives, Father. Let them come up for air. Let them get in your word. Help them to look into all these things and to really know what it's all about and to come out of it, Father. Time is drawing to an end. It's so short now. We just ask you to move, Heavenly Father. And yes, we pray for the worst of the worst. We are even lifting up all the popes and the past popes and the whoever, Father. Our duty is to pray for them. God knows who's not redeemable. He knows who's not going to come. We don't. We pray for them. They are in deception. And no matter how dark of a thing they've done, God will forgive everything except blaspheming His Holy Spirit. He is the judge. We lift them up in prayer. So we're asking you to move, Father, on them. Lord, I want to lift up Javon. He's facing a serious surgery, Lord. And all of those out there who are about to have surgery, Father, we just ask you to be with them, comfort them, Father. We pray for wisdom and knowledge to the surgeons, the nurses, the doctors, the staff in taking care of them. And we ask for a quick recovery. Lord, also, he's grieving after losing his grandfather. And I pray that you would comfort him and Nicole. And all those out there who've lost loved ones recently, Lord, there is a time for grieving and mourning. And I ask you to send your peace and your Holy Spirit to comfort them, Lord. Help them to persevere and to keep going. Even Miss Cookie Cruncher, Lord, thank you for strengthening her. Father, I want to lift up people who are having to spend time apart from a loved one. Our men and women in the military who have to leave their families for long periods of time. Maybe some of you guys have someone in a nursing home or in a hospital and you're not able to be together. I know here we have Miss Pat. Her husband is taking a job, and it's a good distance away, and they're not going to be able to be together the way they have been. And it hurts, Lord. We want to be with our loved ones. And I just ask you to comfort all these people, Lord. Give them strength. Father, we're in a time right now. I have so many people contacting me and saying they cannot even find a true church. They cannot even find a church that's standing on your word. Lord, someone even shared with me that their pastor was talking about reading some things and quoting some things or quoting worldly things and talking about magic, and sounds like a big church. Lord, the deception is so thick. It's penetrated into your churches, Father. I'm just asking you for those that are seeking fellowship and seeking churches, Father, that you would lead and guide them to where you want them to be and how you want them to fellowship. We have apostasy happening greater and more than ever. There's coming a time that you might not be able to find the church. The church may be totally underground. You may be just meeting up with your neighbor next door. But I want to tell you something. You want to be with like-minded people. You don't want to be the only one awake in a church that's asleep, and you're a problem. If you're witnessing and you're being a light, that's one thing. But if you're just going in there to hang out with people who have no clue and you're not sharing with them, I'd question it. Lord, we just ask you to lead them to true churches. And Heavenly Father, we want to pray. Last of all, there are some people that were asking for general prayer. For Miss Sandra, for Jairus, for a YouTuber named Gamer Girl. Heavenly Father, for all of us listening to this message, I lift up those, and I lift all of us up to you, Heavenly Father. And we just ask you, Lord, you know each person's heart. The Bible says you already know our needs. If you know the number of hairs we have on our head, you know our needs. Father, I ask you to touch our health, touch our finances. Father, we're not trying to be millionaires and things like that, but it sure is hard to work for the kingdom of God if we can't hardly make ends meet ourselves. We're asking for jobs, Lord, for those who are looking for jobs and those that are seeking happiness on their job, Father. We don't want to work at jobs where we hate them and we can't stand them and we got problems on the job. Lord, so we ask for peace. Bring the people who are listening to the right jobs, the one that you have picked out for them, Lord. Bless them in their jobs. We spend a lot of time at the job, Lord. And we're just praying for growth in the Lord. Father, we'll never stop growing until we go to be with Jesus Christ. Send your peace into our families and our homes and our lives, Father. And an important thing, Lord, help us all to remember, for the decisions that we make in life, the major decisions, to come to you and seek you in prayer and to seek your counsel in our decisions before we make a decision and mess up and then we're trying to correct it and we're botched it all up and then we're crying out to you, help us. If we would learn to seek you first, you would surely guide us in the right direction. Father, we just ask your blessing and your favor to be poured out on your children. And we pray this in the mighty and holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. In his name we pray. Amen.
Hey, you guys. I just want to take a minute to, let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does his part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved, I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to him. Okay, and he's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss his mark and we don't please him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments, now we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know? So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all, because that's all it takes to separate you from him as one. Okay? So let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer you prayed to Jesus in his name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10:9-10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation, in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus. Okay, and in order to do that, you want to hear his voice, right? You want to hear him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear his voice. And how you hear his voice? Read his word. That's his words written down for you and I to read. That's his voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay? Then when you pray, you speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going. Okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible, okay? They believe in the Bible, and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God, okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I asked, it's all already done. No, you need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis, because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies. So we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins, and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart, and you talk to him just like you and I would talk. Okay. You don't have to have fancy whatever. All right. And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony. Okay. God bless y'all.